Hello, welcome to Freestyle Thoughts, a dance podcast. I'm your host, Anna, and this is episode 15. Today, I thought that it would be appropriate to have a little return to form and talk about good old Chinese dance. Okay, so I know last episode I said that I'm not going to be off scripts often, and that's true. I just wanted to tell you guys something. So originally, when I first recorded this episode, because this episode is a re-record of this episode, I did not realize that the Justin episode was going to be two episodes. So I had to re-record a lot of things that when I started to edit, it was just easier to re-record. So here we are. But I have not recorded in earnest since maybe January. So as you may or may not know, I had a lot of episodes made in late December, early January, so that I would have a backup of episodes. So if I didn't want to work on this podcast for a few weeks, I didn't have to. So New Year's comes around, Lunar New Year specifically, and my life starts going extremely crazy. I'm still writing down script ideas and finishing scripts and recording where I can, but for the most part, production on the podcast took a big fat pause. It wasn't until recently where I started to have to really work on the podcast again because my backup was running dry. I have a couple of episodes still, but I wanted to put some episodes in between some of my pre-recorded episodes because they were recorded with guests. And I think it's really boring to have a podcast by someone who's not well known and just it's just them talking to their friends every episode without a little bit of padding in between, you know? So yeah, it was a personal choice. But yeah, I guess long story short is that I have not recorded in earnest in like a hot minute. And I don't know if this is going to come across in the recording, but I think I'm coming down with something. I'm recording this on April 2nd. I was about to say February, but that's very incorrect. And we had family over for Easter, and one of the kids had a cough and a cold of some sort. So if I picked something up from my first cousin once removed, I won't be surprised. Let's just put it that way. So, on with the scripted stuff. As you may or may not know, when I went to university, I joined this dance club called BASIC, that is spelled S-Y-K because it is a quirky little acronym that's very pathetic. The acronym itself is pathetic. And I joined BASIC because I wanted a change of style. I wanted to learn something new, and I wanted to keep dancing without it being this huge time commitment necessarily. So by the time that I was a second year, I guess my dance background got out. I wasn't hiding it per se. I just wasn't promoting it super hard because it was not very relevant. So one day we're at practice and one of my friends comes up to me and she asks, "Hey, do you want to do this Chinese dance for Lunar New Year?" So naturally, I was like, "Yeah, sure, let's do it." And then, "Hey, do you want to participate?" turns into, "Hey, do you want to choose the dance?" So then I said, "Sure, how many people? I can come up with a few possible options, and we can narrow it down from there." And she said, "Great." And so then, very quickly, that turned into, "Hey, do you want to teach the Chinese dance?" So suddenly, I am now in charge of this Chinese dance, but it was on the condition that it wasn't my job to recruit people. So my friend said, bet. And then she came back with three other girls who were also in basic. Those three girls, I'm not quite sure what their pre-basic dance history was because they were upperclassmen. But whatever it was primarily self-taught or little to no prior dance experience in general. That's my guess. But regardless, only my friend who first approached me had any experience in Chinese dance. And even that, she honestly had more experience in the ballet modern contemporary styles. But I mean, there is much more overlap with ballet modern and contemporary than self-taught K-pop, hip-hop, you know? Something was better than nothing. So we ended up doing a dai dance, mostly because it did not require too much flexibility or technique, so it was going to be fairly easy to teach. Plus, it was a dance that I had done in 2018, and now we are in 2019 going into 2020. And there were five dancers in the original dance, so it felt like the obvious choice. For anybody who is wondering what this dance is specifically, I don't remember the Chinese name, but we did cover it in my Chinese dance deep dive episode. What's that episode? Like 4 or 5. It's the Die Girl in Rain. I think I linked that one. That's the dance that we did. Because the original version of Die Girl in Rain had 5 people, it felt like the obvious choice. I won't go into detail into how this went, but I would say that while our dance was very much far from perfect, I would say that it was pretty good considering that the majority of our dancers had no prior dance experience in Chinese dance or Chinese dance adjacent styles. A lot of people said that we, and I specifically, did a good job because I was teaching, obviously. And I got at least a couple of messages from random people on campus asking if they could be included in the next Chinese dance we did. So naturally, I went to my friend who first approached me about the Chinese dance, and I said, yo, our dance generated interest. Want to start a Chinese dance club next year? And she said, yeah, sure. So our plans were made, and then the pandemic hit. But we were persistent. When things were returning to normal, we made good on our starting a club semi-pseudo promise. Problem, that Lunar New Year that we generated interest from was about 1.5 years ago at this point. So that interest, for the most part, was gone. A whole ass class that could have participated in our club had graduated, and literally no one knew the sophomores or the freshmen. As a complete side note, I'm not sure how the other universities were like, but at my university, since we were pretty small, it was pretty easy to tell who was what year in school. I was an upperclassman who was off campus my third year primarily, and that was also the COVID year. So when things were returning back to normal, as an upperclassman, when it came to interacting with the underclassmen that year, we just kind of assumed that anyone you didn't recognize was a first year. And I personally would end up being wrong like 90% of the time, because apparently they're not freshmen, they're sophomores, whatever. they were basic first years, it's kind of the same thing. But still, back to the story, things were not looking great for us. Plus, again, Chinese dance is a super niche thing, so between us and the K-pop hip-hop group, who do you think people are going to choose? Obviously not us, because familiarity bias. And you know what? Fair enough. It just happens that my co-president was going to be graduating a semester early. And I, if you can't tell by my personality that I'm presenting through these episodes, I am the worst person to drum up any sort of hype for this club specifically in this situation, but in general. So yeah, troubles. Plus, as a side note, our rec was notably bad with communication. Like, randomly booting some reservations and sometimes just not honoring reservations. Plus, there are not enough spaces on that campus for the copious amount of dance groups. And the rec would usually let, like, Rice emergency services randomly take reservations or something. I don't know. There was some sort of REMS meeting in the dance rooms that made dancers very annoyed. I'm not sure how often there were, but I know that when I wanted to practice on my own time, my personal schedule would just collide with the REMS schedule, and it was very annoying. But yeah, back then especially, I'm not sure if they changed it, and I'll be very surprised if they have changed it, to be quite honest, but it was a pretty shitty system that they got going there. So yeah, that was another challenge that we had, but honestly, that was a challenge that everybody faced together. So skipping forward a little bit in our process here, because I can talk about how writing the Constitution was fun. Actually, I know that sounds sarcastic, but it was actually kind of fun. Or how going through the safety modules was fun, sarcasm intended. No one wants to hear about that. So I'm going to skip forward a little bit. We have our group together, and we have the dance picked out. So now we're preparing for our Lunar New Year performance. That's where we're starting this part of the story. So the group that I had to work with was overall very irregular for a good while there. Scratch that. Very irregular. Period. Because from what I understand what is happening right now, it's still fairly irregular. But more regular than what it was. It's okay, because that was its inaugural year. While I would say that this entire year was irregular, the situation was even more irregular for a good while there. And listen, okay? Random people would join and then drop before we even got to perform. And then even across the year, there was this one first year who, she was a great dancer, but I mean, she often was not on time and she kind of had poor communication skills with me. And in hindsight, I don't know how much of that was her and how much of that was me. But she was a very good dancer, and when she was there, she tried really hard. So I do appreciate all the effort that she put into that dance that she participated in. I appreciate it a lot. And honestly, in hindsight, I do think I intimidated her a little bit. But I guess that's just because when it comes to dance or projects in general, I guess I come off as a little bit intimidating, which is hilarious. Because if you see my stature in person, I'm like so not intimidating. But one thing that I did have on the average of this group for Lunar New Year was that a lot of the dancers that I ended up working with were people who used to do Chinese dance at some point in their past. But for the most part, it was a while since they touched the style. But this was not guaranteed. And since we were such a baby club, we did not have a set of regulars. So when it came time for our second performance, the Cypher performance, it was mostly a whole ass different set of people. And then fast forward to post my graduation, the club in some capacity continues. And I have no idea what the history is, but it's just different people. And in terms of just club stuff. We did not have a lot of time to learn everything for both performances that we'll be talking about this episode. And we had a budget of $0. So we were we were sort of struggling out there. You know, I'll talk about more specific stuff that we struggled with when I talk about these dances and performances and specifics. But before we get to those fun bits, I want to talk about how I felt returning to Chinese dance in university, even though for the majority of my time at university, I did not do Chinese dance super voluntarily. I won't lie, as difficult as the challenges were, I loved that I was able to bring Chinese dance back into my life and introduce it to the campus. I loved that it was on my own terms. And even though I intended to make this Chinese dance club at the university for my third year of university in a universe where COVID never happened, I don't think I was also intending to do Chinese dance, if that makes sense. I wasn't going out of my way in my now copious amount of free time during the pandemic to learn Chinese dances. I was mostly focusing on learning whatever K-pop dance or 1 million dance that just sounded like fun. And there's literally only one exception. Scratch that. Two exceptions. For one, I was coerced into teaching a Chinese dance for Lunar New Year. And honestly, that was a misunderstanding that resulted in something that was super unique and actually kind of fun. And the other exception was I chose to do a Chinese dance solo for the COVID cipher. And honestly, okay, let me tell you what this miscommunication was, because I don't know if I told the story or not on this podcast or not, but I think it's funny. So it's Lunar New Year, right? And we're mostly a K-pop, hip-hop group. But for Lunar New Year, Basic always tries to do something Chinese dance. And by that, I mean a dance to a Mandopop song, okay? And maybe it was just the COVID brain rot, but I picked out the dance that I was going to choose, which was Moksori by Luna. And I had my cut. I went to the Google form. I look at the intro, whatever, to the form. And it says, we would love if someone did a Chinese dance. And I sat there and I thought, That's me. That's me, isn't it? They're talking to me specifically. So I messaged leadership and I was like, yo, by Chinese dance, you guys mean me specifically, right? And they were like, yes, that's correct. So then I went, okay. Here are some Chinese dances. I can teach, I think, any of these three. I think I give them two or three options. Which one do you think is more doable? And they came back to me and they said, they both look doable. And I said, great, I will choose the one that I want to do then. Perfect. So we ended up doing Taiyan Zueye, and we did, it was a really weird cut of it because my dance had to fit into a certain time limit. And I had to speed it up a little bit. It was very unorthodox, but it was a very fun experience. And I introduced some of my friends to Chinese dance, and it was a great time. But I think after my dance got chosen, because I was the only Chinese dance, right? And so my dance gets chosen, and later leadership goes, you know, when I said Chinese dance, I was thinking something like, you know, like Mandopop, something like a song in Mandarin. I was not thinking a Chinese classical dance. I mean, I'm glad that we're doing it, but this just was not what I was expecting. And so that's how I taught a Chinese dance for Basic. But no, it was actually really funny because my boyfriend at the time, or situationship guy. I don't know. In hindsight, I'm not quite sure what to call it. I think back then I would have said boyfriend. But now I'm just like, this dude that I was kind of seeing, he was like, oh, I can't believe you're getting like duped into teaching a Chinese dance. Like, he was mad on my behalf. But you know what? I'm actually really glad it happened. And I think that entire situation from all sides of that is so funny. Okay, anyways, back to what I was saying. So even though I did have a really great time with Tianzuye, whenever I came back to Chinese dance in junior year or during my final year, I think I was reminded a lot of why I liked this style, why this style was my first love, and honestly how fun this style was when I was doing it on my own terms. Not that I wasn't choosing to do Chinese dance before university on my own terms, but it was more now I knew what was out there, and nothing can quite live up to the feeling of doing Chinese dance. Like, I said a couple of times that how doing 1 million covers are more fun to me than doing K-pop covers. And I think that is because the interpretation of the 1 million dance, the approach to that was sort of similar as how you approach a Chinese dance. Regardless of the number of people who are in the regardless of the number of people for whom the choreography was intended, you can change and adapt the choreography and have it still resemble the original without it being like a whole ass different dance, right? And that's sort of how the Chinese dance approach is, in that there are lots of trios that can become small group dances or duet dances or large group dances that can be fitted for a smaller number of people. And even then, within the choreography itself, I talked about this a few times, that you can change really simple parts or really complicated parts to better show off the skills of your dancers. And while that approach is not taken as in the same way, there are definitely more liberties to changing choreography with a 1 million choreography than with the K-pop choreography. And I think it's because of 1 million has this approach of reinterpretation versus a cover. And the idea of cover is so much harder to break away from when we did K-pop, let that be because of precedent or preference. And I talked a little bit about this before, but I mean, I also got to share my experience with my friends who had joined the club mostly because of loyalty and friendship to me. But I got to show them my dance history in a really tangible way. And I got to hopefully share with them why this style is my home style, why the style is my first love, why I would want to bring this to the campus. And honestly, I think this is one of the reasons why I think dance is just a really cool art medium. And that is just how physical and in the moment dance is. I mean, I don't really have any other comparison to other art forms, because I think you could maybe argue that acting is kind of the same way, where it's a very in the moment thing. But I mean, showing somebody a video versus actually participating in a dance are two very different things. So my friends got a little viewport into Chinese dance. And I don't know. I hope that they felt the gratification of the end result. And I mean, a successful performance in any dance style is gratifying for me. And I think that's probably very similar to most people. But I feel like the end result has always been more gratifying when I did Chinese dance than when I did some of the basic stuff that we've done. And that's not to say that I hated all the stuff that we did with basic, or that the work that we produced wasn't satisfying or didn't have a satisfying end. I'm not quite sure what it is, but maybe it was because I wasn't in charge most of the dances that I did in basic, or maybe it was because we did more dances that were in the cover circle than they were in the reinterpretation circle. I really don't know. But now let's talk about the specific bits. And I talked about this when I was talking about Taoyo about, like, what, 10 episodes ago? 9? 11 episodes ago? I don't know. But if I could go back in time, I would choose to do Taoyo instead of the dance that we did for the Lunar New Year. We did Cui Cheng Feng, or Drunken Spring Breeze, which is the English name. And I do have a soft spot for that dance now. But back when I was choosing this dance, I wanted us to do a classical dance. Ethnic dances, I mean, they're really fun, but even as little kids, you start with the classical dance to get the best feel of the most general Chinese dance style. And plus, I think in a lot of ways, in terms of general movements and feelings, I think classical dance was the best way to formally introduce my campus and the club to what Chinese dance is. When I taught the Dai dance in my second year, I knew that a lot of people in my group hadn't really done Chinese dance before, and that a lot of people hadn't really seen Chinese dance. But I knew that while Dai, it's a super common style, it's not the thing that pops up when you type in Chinese dance into YouTube necessarily, you know? And also, people kept on referring it to the Dai dance as the folk dance, and I mean, it's not a folk dance. I'm sorry. It was an incorrect label, and I just knew that I know labels are only as important as you want them to be. They could only have so much power over you. But for a lot of people, labels mean a lot of things, and we were labeling the Dai dance incorrectly. So yeah, I was basically gunning for a classical style for Lunar New Year because, I mean, if the club's future went how I was envisioning it being, they could even do, like, New Year's specific dances down the end of the line if I set that precedent. Plus, ethnic dances, in my experience, in terms of actually doing one, can be very hit or miss. Like, I like doing Chinese dance, the general style, but personally, I do not like doing super classical Mongolian dances. So, time for a breakdown of the dancers I had during Zui Cheng Feng. I had 4 other dancers, one of whom was my really good friend, and 3 first years. So my good friend, I knew her through BASIC, and she was a second year at the time, and she was my VP, and she honestly was super great. But she had never done Chinese dance before, and she was really just there because of our friendship and out of loyalty to me. One of the first years, I knew through BASIC, and she brought a friend, and I'm not quite sure how the other first year found us, let alone stick with us. This is the first year with whom I had some communication issues, but I mean, I'm glad she stuck around. At one point, we were supposed to have a 5th person, but she ended up backing out, which is unfortunate, and then we were really late into the process. Like, we had learned everything except for the last section when another member requested to join the dance. And I sadly had to tell them, no, that they could not join this dance, but that they were free to join the next dance and that I would be sure to let her know when that started. But in hindsight, I really wish she was able to do Zui Cheng Feng because she's great and she's hilarious, and I will talk about her more later. The dancers I was working with in terms of skill, again, my friend had never done Chinese dance before, and they really had been mostly self/peer-taught in the K-pop hip-hop style. And, you know, I again, she joined out of loyalty to me. And I do think she ended up having a good time. And honestly, by the end of the dance, like, yeah, you could tell this wasn't her home style, but she wasn't bad at all. She worked so hard. The first year that I knew from Basic, she is amazing, and she's a super graceful dancer. And she hadn't done Chinese dance in a while, I believe. But, I mean, she was great. Who could tell, honestly? And her friend was in the same boat. Her friend learned super fast, and it was amazing, and it was great because she joined a little bit late. And, I mean, honestly, she was such a pleasure to work with. And then that final first year, I could definitely tell that by the end of our dance, I could tell that she wanted to back out. But she stuck with it for that dance. And honestly, I'm so grateful. She had done Chinese dance before as well. And it had been a really long time for her. And I think this was something that she wanted to test out to see if this was something that she wanted to do in university or not. But, I mean, she was so courteous and that she, once she was locked in, she was locked in. And for a student club that did not charge fees, and honestly, it's not like we were going to, like, hunt her down if she backed out or blacklist her. I mean, that just takes a lot of self-discipline. Like, she didn't know any of us, now that I'm thinking about it. That just takes so much self-discipline, and I actually have a lot of respect for her. So we started learning this dance, I believe, it was either late October or early November. And I had until January, February-ish. So we were not doing great on time because we had winter break. And the rec center at the time, again, was struggling in its COVID recovery and that it struggled to honor reservations, et cetera, et cetera. And honestly, it was really hard to even get a reservation. So more than half of the time, I just kind of lucked out in finding a room, low-key. But we ended up practicing on Monday nights after the ballroom club practice. And honestly, funnily enough, the president of the ballroom club was someone who I had in my salsa LPAP, which LPAP does stand for something. Like L something, physical activity, P something, I don't know. But it's basically the equivalent of a mandatory gym credit that we had to take at university. And I took it in my first year, and it was a salsa class again, and I honestly do not, I don't remember this guy's name, but it had been like 3 long years since then at this point, so I really doubted that this guy would remember me. But I mean, I remembered him because of course I did. But when things got closer to New Year, we ended up practicing at one of the residential colleges, I believe. And that was free game for the most part. So it ended up being actually pretty difficult to hold that down when the show came closer and closer. But we managed. But I remember being so extremely stressed because we were running out of time, like, severely. Honestly, given our situation, I think we did pretty decent. One of my friends who studied at the residential college that we were practicing at, we would often ask her to film our dance before practice was dismissed. And she said that our dance never failed to make her emotional, essentially. And I am so glad that we were able to make her feel something about our dance. But if anything, I'm just more impressed that she found something. But honestly, if anything, I'm more impressed that she found something beautiful or meaningful enough to make her emotional. And maybe that's just because I was not only in the dance, but I was in charge of that dance. So my feelings and my view of the dance was going to be warped. And yeah, so I generally had a more negative perception of our dance than she did. But I'm glad that she thought it was great because that was kind of the audience that we would be performing for. So we had 2 performances for this dance. One of my friends was in charge of his residential college's Lunar New Year event. And, you know, just as a side reference, residential colleges were presented like, quote, the houses from Harry Potter, but there's 12 or 11 of them, and it's random. That's whatever. So he was in charge of the Lunar New Year event at his residential college, and he asked me if I would be able / willing to let my club participate. And out of loyalty to my friend, but also for practice for my club, I told him that yes, we would perform. This would be a great test run for the Lunar New Year events, even if that was just going to be filmed, because I think at that point, there were already discussions about postponing or filming it. So I invited some of my friends to come out to the event to take a look. For reference, we were wearing white shirts and black leggings because we were broke. And our non-existent budgets, i.e. the money from my personal pocket, went towards the super cheap vans for the dance. And I did have some decorative hairpins and stuff that we could use for like headpieces or whatever. But was it going to be the most traditional take on this dance? Hell no, but something was better than nothing. And this was quite an interesting performance. I sent my friend, the event organizer, the music, and he kept it on a Google Drive, not anticipating that there would be connectivity issues when it came time to perform. So our time comes. I introduce our club extremely awkwardly. My friend unfortunately filmed me stumbling over my words and rambling a little bit because I was not prepared to make some sort of introduction. We struggled through my introduction, and then we got into position. My friend tries to start the music, and then this is what we hear. Radio silence. And this went on for a while, let me tell you. This was really awkward for me specifically, because unlike literally all of my other dancers, I started on the floor. I didn't walk in. So I was on the floor in my position, waiting and looking at my friend. And then I think at some point he either called it or I walked over and asked like, what was happening. But either way, my friend gets this monk that he invited to the event to stall for time. So during this time, my friend was just trying to get the music to load, or I don't really know what was happening. But let's talk about the monk for a second. This man, this monk, took his extra minutes of spotlight and stretched it for as long as possible. I don't even know what he was doing, but he kept on going even after my friend had figured out how to solve the audio problems. And I thought that my friend was just taking a long time to solve the audio issues. But my friend later told me that it was the monk who was taking the time. The monk was basking in his 15 minutes of fame, and that is so funny to me. I cannot call this performance flawless, but I think we did well given the circumstances. It was our first time performing, so I do think it was a good experience for everyone. Unfortunate that during our performance, the music cut. Not once, but twice. I knew from my experience that when the music cuts, you keep going. Unfortunately, I did not foresee this or communicate this to my team. And we were probably at one of the worst parts for this dance when this happened. So this was what the music sounded like. And this is the part where we are split into two groups across the stage. You hear how the music kind of goes back and forth and repeats itself. That's because it's two groups across the stage doing two different things, like a call and repeat thing. And so I was with one group and I just kept on going, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. And the other group naturally froze. So the music ends up starting again and I can't remember, so I actually had to go back and watch this, but the music was not cut for that long. So the music starts up again, and we're at this part of the music. And then the music cuts again. But, you know, this time we're all in a straight line. And I think the second one is the more awkward one somehow. We are not only not in sync, but we're also super... It's bad, man. It's bad. No one said that we sucked. And we generally got compliments on how we dealt with the situation, if anyone commented on it at all. So, job well done, I suppose. But for the Lunar New Year campus-wide event, it ended up being a filmed ordeal, as you may or may not know. But maybe one day, I think I'm going to go into this more, but 3 out of 5 of us were also in BASIC. And BASIC leadership was very unwilling to cooperate with me, not only as a member of their own club, which, you know what, bad leadership, but fair enough, I guess, but me as a member, nay, president of a different club. So basically what happened was that they commanded that BASIC do a run-through for the BASIC set. Problem, well, multiple problems. Firstly, a lot of dancers were in overlapping dances for the most part, and it was basically a free-for-all instead of an organized thing. And on this one, I can only sort of understand because the leadership was also very heavily involved in CSA, which was organizing the event, so they were dealing with that. But, I mean, delegation, right? We learned how important that is as a podcast community from the Sorry Not Sorry episode, right? So all the dances were calling for a run through at the same time, and it was absolute chaos. Absolute chaos. Secondly, my club was filming in the slot before BASIC. So if anybody had to practice or needed all of their members to be in one place, it was my club before BASIC. Plus, again, all of the BASIC dances for this specific situation were audition dances. So it's not like average Joe rolls up to practice one day and then just finds himself committed to a dance. We actually had to audition to participate, which indicates some level of trust that we've got it, that we do not need to have a last minute full ass practice to clean things. Run through? Just to warm up and refresh the mind and everything? Sure, it should take less than 10 minutes, but this shit was going on for a hot while. It was insane and also not the point. So filming was not bad for my club. I mean, communication on what was going on and who was going to do what when the day of was pretty shitty. But for me, it probably didn't help that the primary organizer of the LNY event was somebody in BASIC leadership who did not like me and therefore tried to not be cooperative whenever I interacted with them as the president of a different club. I have to step back from the mic for that one because I am actually screaming. And by the way, this is a pattern. It's not an incident. This is a pattern because this happened later also. And we'll get there. But honestly, there's not too much to say. There really wasn't any chance of audio issues since it was filmed. And it was kind of annoying because there wasn't any communication on how the audio was going to be handled. Like, usually, I, as a representative of a participating club, would have had to send my audio to the appropriate point person, and then it's taken care of the day of. But that was not the case this time, and maybe that was because the event had to pivot at the last minute. I don't know. But I was nervous because I knew that RDT had a group that was also doing a Chinese dance, And I didn't see them film their dance, so I was a little pretty nervous that we, the Chinese dance club, will look very bad next to the auditioned and more properly trained RDT dancers. So, skipping forward, when it came down to the viewing of the final LNY video, I know some. I was sitting with people from Basic. We had like a little event and to watch it together. And once I saw what their dance was like, I was like, I felt so relieved. I felt so relieved. And I kept on saying something to someone about it. I was saying it to one of my friends who knew about my worries and concerns. And I know that the Basic members that I was sitting around who were not privy to my worries were like, you are being unsupportive as hell. when I was out here like sighing in relief that I thought that both the people around me and that I myself thought that we looked better than the RDT dance. So, LNY, done. Okay, we moved on. We completed it. It's done. And I wanted to have a break in between practices for LNY and Cypher. But because LNY was pushed back, I believe, that was not a possibility anymore. So, it was time to start immediately preparing for Cypher. And as a result, I knew that I did not have enough time to find both a new dance and learn a whole ass new dance to teach. So we would have to be pulling from the archives for this one. Plus, I did want to give a more traditional dance a try for the flavor. So we were going with Day Bath Tianyu. And you know what? Part of me thought that one of the dances that I did in my senior year of high school was already brought back. So it was only fitting that the other one be brought back as well. This time, I was faced with a mostly new set of dancers. My close friend, who is in Zhui Chong Feng with me, continued with Tianyu, and I let that one person who joined too late for LNY know that we were preparing for a different performance, and she rolled up. The other three from Zhui Chong Feng did not return for this dance, sadly, but I got two grad students from Basic to join. It's actually funny because at some point during LNY preparations, I went up to one of the grad students with the information that they had done Chinese dance or that one of them had done Chinese dance. And I think I walked up to both of them, talking specifically to one of them. And I more or less said, hey, we have a Chinese dance club. I've heard you've done Chinese dance. I think if you want to check it out, we'll be more than happy to have you. And if you, other grad student who hasn't done Chinese dance to my knowledge, are also welcome to check it out. It's beginner friendly. It'll be a fun time. It's check it out if you want to. Just if you don't have to commit, we're starting a new dance. I think I more or less just said that. I don't think it was so much as a please join. But it was actually funny because when I went up to her, the person I was talking to was what she goes, actually, yeah, I mean, I'll join. I'll roll up. But I haven't done Chinese dance before. And then the other person who I thought didn't do Chinese dance goes, yeah, I've actually done Chinese dance. And it was like very awkward. It was very awkward. And I think I just said, oh, I just knew one of you did Chinese dance and then wasn't sure. I just took a guess. It was so awkward. It was so awkward. They were very understanding though. But yeah, I think I went into that conversation not expecting them to actually join. But you know, they did. And it was pretty cool. And similar situation, I got two of my other friends from Basic to join just because I thought it would be fun for them to like try a different style. I wasn't actually expecting them to join the dance, but they did. And one of my friends had done Indian dance before, and I'm not quite sure what style, but that she said that Indian dance general, she never used a specific term, and fair enough. She said that was the closest thing that she had ever done. But when we were both third years, she was in my Chinese dance. She was in Taiyanzuye. And my other friend who joined from Basic, she just didn't have any relevant dance experience. So she was kind of just there for the vibes at first. But overall, I was working with a little bit lower of a skill level than my last dance. And not to say that these people are beginner dancers by any means. I'm just saying that Chinese dance is a very technical style. But luckily, Day Bath or Tian Yu did not require a lot of technique. It in fact required, I would say, even less technique than the previous one. So the process, I would say, went mostly seamlessly. It was just learning and teaching the intro was super painful because there are no counts to that shit. Like, listen to this. That's literally the definition of just feel it and do it. And when this person does this thing, this group does this thing. You know, it really relied on knowing when the soloist did stuff. So all of our timing relied on one person. And here's the dilemma I had. So I could have done the solo bit at the beginning and have the process be a lot easier at the cost of me not doing it as well as somebody else in our group, or have one of our grad students who was naturally extremely graceful do it and do it really well at the cost of slowing down the process. So obviously, I chose the one that was less time efficient. But we did figure it out in the end, and I think it looked better for it. It just took so much more time than I was expecting initially. And honestly, before the music is literally only that's truly no beats. It's really hard to find a beat. But the you can at least make up a beat, but still, it's still difficult. Since I knew who I was working with and how my group learned, because I worked with them from Basic, I would say that the process, except for the beginning bit, went fairly quickly. The one girl that I did not know well, she was great. She learned quickly, super dedicated, but she's also hilarious and I love her. She's so funny. For the most part, since she was the youngest in their group, in a group that was dominated by seniors, followed by grad students, this first year was very intimidated. She kept her head down and just did the work and did the dance and adjusted when she was told. She was actually really easy to work with, but she didn't really show any non-professional personality traits during water breaks. And fair enough, if I were in that situation, I would be doing the same. But once we finished the dance and practice was much more lax, this kid revealed that she was actually the most hilarious person in the room. At our final Tianyu practice, this kid goes, "So what do we do on the tinkle tinkle?" And I, knowing the music inside and out, stood there, confused. What tinkle tinkle? Where's the tinkle tinkle? What do you mean by tinkle tinkle? So we play the music and then she goes, "Yeah, yeah, there, the tinkle tinkle." This kid's had great ears because I was not hearing the tinkle tinkle until she pointed it out. And then I was able to answer her question. But I'm not quite sure if I would categorize what she said as a tinkle tinkle. But I think the part that she was pointing to, now that I'm multiple years removed from the situation, is I think in this specific situation, if I were her, I probably would have tried to use dun dun duns instead of tinkle tinkle. But I mean, she's not. I guess she's not wrong. I guess that is a tinkle tinkle. Now, it's been like 2 years since then, and I had to scrub through this music to take my best guess as to what tinkle tinkle means. But I mean, like, this has to be it, right? If somebody who is there, can you please confirm? You guys won't be able to confirm, but can someone please affirm that this is tinkle tinkle? But there is this other bit, but when we were backstage at dress rehearsal for Cypher, you know, she asked for the time. And then she goes, riddle me this. I need to be at Sid in 3 minutes. How would one accomplish this? And for reference, we are at like the far edge of campus. So this was going to take a 7-ish, maybe less time if you're power walking, but it's going to take a 7-ish minute walks average. This kid did not have a bike or a car or any means of transportation, just her own 2 legs. And for some reason, the way that she presented her conundrum is just so funny. Like, why riddle me this? But honestly, it's great. Okay, so she had this nickname, Slim. And this isn't in my script. I'm just remembering this. But backstage, so we're lining up for our final bows, okay? And my club, since we were the only club performing at Cypher that year, we were introduced for our bows first. And so we're waiting for the last dance to end. And Slim goes up to, or I think Slim's just like existing in line. I think we're just chilling backstage. And one of the guys, so the way that the bows were set up, it was my club followed by all independent dancers followed by basics separated by year in school. So, or basic performers that were in a basic dance, because there were some individual performers who were in basic but did not participate in a basic dance. Therefore, they were introduced as independent dancers. But so we're standing in line and we're near some basic sophomores who were in independent dances that were not with basic. And I think this was like maybe the second or third time we were running through Cypher. So we were kind of already familiar with each other's faces. And I mean, I do know who they were. I was in the same dance as these independent dancers. And they were also in Trust Fund. So one of the guys, we'll call him Mateo, he was just trying to be nice, okay? He goes, so, what's your name? And she goes, Slim. And he goes, huh? She goes, yeah, it's Slim. Like, what do you want? And he goes, Slim? And she goes, that's, and he goes, and then I think he kind of laughed a little bit because he was like, that can't be real. Because I think she was just, you know, she's just replying with a nickname. This is how she wanted to be known as. Fair enough. And Slim goes, you're making fun of my name? And he's like, oh, what? No, no. I thought you were joking. And she goes, Slim, yeah. It's short for Slim Jimin. And Mateo goes, Slim Jimin? And then Slim goes, yeah, like Benjamin, but Slim. Slim Jimin. And so in comes this other dude. I don't remember what his name is. We'll call him like James or something. I don't know. So in comes James. He goes, he just pops up. He makes his consciousness like relevant, like relevant to the conversation. And Mateo goes to, what are we calling him? James? Yeah. So Mateo goes to James and he goes, this is Slim Jimin. And then they had that entire interaction. And it was just James and Mateo being like, Slim Jimin? No chance. Yeah, that's what she said. Slim Jimin? That's what I said. And it was me and my club watching this interaction go down. and cracking up because we knew that Slim was a nickname and that Slim Jimin was not a thing. That she just, I guess it was revenge for making fun of her nickname. Fair enough. And so we're just watching this go down. And then after bows, I think we were all collecting our stuff or something. And Mateo was like, Anna, you know Slim Jimin? Something like that. And I was just like watching this happen. And for a really long time, I think Slim just let Mateo think that her name was Slim Jimin, but that she preferred to go by Slim. A half-truth. And she just let this happen. It was so funny. And eventually, I think she felt bad because, like, Mateo was just trying to make up for the fact that he accidentally made fun of her name. And she goes, my name's not really Slim. He goes, like, yeah, it's Slim Jimin. And it just went on. I think he eventually found out that her name was not Slim Jimin and that Slim was, in fact, I believe he found out that Slim was a nickname, but he found out Slim Jimin was, that she was just messing with him. But it was really funny. She's hilarious. What was I saying? I think I got distracted by this random memory. Okay, so the general reception to Tianyu was pretty good, I would say. I mean, we didn't get as many comments on this dance. I would say, firstly, because of internal politics plus COVID sort of screwed over Cypher. So it wasn't given the best hand, but also a lot of people who would have commented on my dance were in my dance. And again, once you're in a dance, it's like you have a warped perception of it because it's your work. But I think they had a good time overall. Like, I know that this wasn't anybody's favorite dance necessarily, but they had a good time. My friend who was in Zui Chengfeng preferred that dance to Tianyu, but I mean, it was something new. So while she wouldn't do this dance or style again, she had a good time, I think. My friend who did Indian dance at some point in her past, she was glad that she was able to try another Chinese dance style. And my other friend from Basic, the one who I was most certain wouldn't actually perform, the message goes, she had never been as fit since she's done Tianyu. So, good vibes, I guess, all overall. Because of COVID, again, we were the only other club, the only other non-Basic club to perform at Cypher. So, we were kind of special in a number of ways. For one, we were a very different style, but we were also the only club, right? Basic invited other clubs, and they did say yes, but they did have to drop out after, like, 50% or more of their club had contracted COVID. So you would think that Basic would be glad that we weren't backing out. The actual events are complicated. Basic at this time was more or less fighting within itself in terms of politics. The old board was having issues with letting go. And that comment, I think, goes more to a specific individual than the entire board. But it turns out that the old board would have to be very involved, almost equally involved with Cypher, when they themselves had set the precedent of the old board fully retiring for Cypher. And key points of leadership on the new board did not get along well with the old board. And it was messy. So here I was, coming to the conglomerate Basic board, whatever, to talk about where Daybath needed to be in the set. Because 4 out of 5 of us were in Basic. And I, specifically, was in 6 out of 8 Basic dances, plus 2 individual groups. In a set that was dominated by Basic and individual dances. Actually, you know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, maybe one day I'll talk about my time being a low-key marathon dancer. Because that's basically what I was doing at this point. So, for my club, because I knew that everyone had to change into stuff that was drastically different from what they would be performing in for basic or other individual dances for the most part. This is what they had to wear, okay? So their hair had to be up in a ponytail or just like up out of their face somehow. One of the dances that was a lot of us were in that was really close to this dance required that dancers have two braids. And I told them that they could just tie those two braids together if they didn't want to take their braids out. I originally wanted there to be enough time that everyone can get their hair done into a bun and we could do something with hair ornaments maybe, I don't know. But at least no matter what, everyone needed to 100% change into different clothing. The stuff that they were wearing for basic was absolutely not going to be overlapping with our potential tenue attire. The basic dances and most of the individual dances were either K-pop or hip-hop adjacent, so the outfits could overlap. Street style, sexy chic, whatever. If you have like X clothing for a dance and then you only had like one dance in between, you could just like change out of like your pants or shorts or put on a different hat or whatever, right? That was not going to cut it for tenue. I requested in shorts that there be time for us to fully change our outfits and, if possible, time for hair. And this is also, I think this request went in when we thought that there was going to be more club performances. And so, new basic leadership said, we will do our best with a smiley face. And yeah, so wave of COVID, clubs drop out. Flash to internal conversations, old basic was basically saying, yo, they want way too much. They're getting greedy and unreasonable. Hell no. And you know what? Personal feelings aside, yo, this was literally the only club that was participating in what was supposed to be an all dance club performance. So you would think that they would treat us with any respect, a little bit of respect, some respect. Outside of those who were directly involved, I'm not sure if anybody really knew what was going on, but when it came to Cypher, our club got severely dunked on by basic leadership at the time. And, okay, like some of this was, I don't know, I feel weird about it, but the former basic president sat in on one of our practices just to sit in, and this was after changeover, so he was no longer the basic president. And he sat in not to see how far along things were. It was more like a sit-in just to, like, watch, like, we were a free show. And in general, I think basic just treated my club like an extension of itself because we had overlapping members. Particularly true of the Cypher performance, but not really true of the Lunar New Year performance. So I was absolutely pissed because one of our dancers was not in basic and it was just this random man to her watching our practice. And I felt bad that she was forced to be in Cypher, an event that was going to take a long time, and she was only in it for like, what, 5 minutes? 6 minutes, 7 minutes, if you count bows. And she, like, I felt bad that she was meant to be there until it was over. And, I mean, for subsequent rehearsals, if she had to leave early, like, I allowed her to do that because I knew that she wouldn't abuse that. think about this. Like, I needed to say, hey, my club is all here, and I'm the point person for my club, right? So basically needs to talk to me regarding people within my club. People within my club need to talk to me, right, regarding things in my club. For example, for this one person who is not in basic, when she shows up, she reports to me, not to basic. And, like, honestly, Slim, she was great, and I'm super grateful that she never abused the fact that I was going to be lenient with her when it came to certain things like leaving early or a little bit of tardiness. But basic leadership old basic leadership never treated my club like a proper club. Some were saying just stuff because we were friends and they thought that it was okay. Others were acting out because of our personal relationship was in a bad place. But either way, the consensus was that they believed to some degree, conscious or subconscious, that my club was an extension of basic, even though what we do and how we operate is different from basic. Okay. Slights from my not friends, I could take. You kind of expect that from your not friends. Slights from my friends, egregious. Because they knew how hard I worked not only to keep that club afloat, but to set it up in the first place. When they would act like because they were X whatever position and on the basic board, that they had a free pass to waltz into a closed private practice, information of which they were only privy to because they heard it third hand from friends, you know? And then treat it like it was some casual non-crunch time basic practice when in reality we were in extreme, we were in crunch time grind mode. Disrespectful. Disrespectful and rude. I remember when this happened, I paused what I was doing and I walked up to them and I asked if they were observing us to check on our progress for Cypher on behalf of official basic business. I think if things had gone normally, like we would have been required to send in a video of our progress, right? So if they were, since they only had one club and they were just like, oh, we'll like just check in person, I could sort of see that happening. So when I asked them, they said no, that they just wanted to hang out. So I kicked them out and they were confused and I was mad. And then I sent them a message telling them that unless they were there for official business, they were not welcome to a closed private practice. But they were welcome to pop in during open practice. And if they were interested, I would be sure to bring this to the attention of the next president. And they did not take me drawing the line here particularly well. And the only reason that they would have such a reaction is if they saw my club as an extension of basic. I remember I literally asked them if they would do that to RDT or Rice Ballroom or any of the other clubs, because if they would, then I suppose there's a different conversation to be had. But if their answer was no, then they needed to respect that boundary and we needed to talk about their respect for a different club of which they were not a part. It was officially listed as an independent club at the time under Rice's clubs and organizations, so it really didn't matter if they knew my members personally or because of basic, because at the time they were not acting like a basic member but rather as a member of my club, whatever. But yeah, they didn't take my message too well, but I mean we got over it. I know I sounded dramatic, but it's kind of just for the storytelling. But considering how well I remember this, maybe I am not fully over it, but I feel pretty over it, to be quite honest. But yeah, the Chinese Dance Club is no longer an independent club. The amount of work that went into keeping a registered independent club was too much for the amount of output that it was making, and the people who I left in charge of that club, it was just too much for them, and fair enough. So it ended up getting absorbed into the Chinese Student Association. And yeah, it kind of does break my heart a little bit, but I understand. I went to see their Cypher performance last year, and across the two dances that they did, the two kids who were in basic but were in... So there's one girl who... The girl who learned really fast, who was in Zui Chengfeng, and Slim, they were both in Cypher last year. And honestly, I was so happy to see them just like participating again. The person that I entrusted the club to, she was more into like the modern stuff than the classical or traditional stuff. So the club went for a more transcend studio energy than something that you would see at Taulibe. But I mean, it's not a direction that I would have taken it. But honestly, everyone seemed to be enjoying it. And you know what? At that point, the club was no longer mine. And things were meant to evolve and change. And sometimes the best way to bring about such change is to let somebody else step up into a leadership position. And while this wasn't a familiar style to her in any way, she honestly did such a great job teaching everybody else. And I was honestly just happy then, and I'm still happy to see the club live on in some way. I'm still in the group chat, and I saw the dance that they're preparing, and I think it's super cool. I'm not quite sure who's in charge of it right now, but if it's the person who I think it is, I am so glad. I'm really happy that the chain of command has been me, my close friend, and the person who I think is in charge of it this year. I think it's just a beautiful, beautiful line right now. But I'm hoping that maybe one day one ambitious soul will take the reins over the Chinese dance club and make it independent again. It's happened before to other dance clubs. The Lion Dance Club was originally a part of the Vietnamese Student Association, and then they became their own independent thing. But I mean, they didn't go independent, subunit independent, but I mean, there's still some sort of precedent there. So this is definitely a longer episode, but I don't know how much I'm going to be able to cut, because I think this is all pretty relevant to each other and the story overall that I'm saying about Chinese dance in university. But yeah, it's funny because I talked about this before, but I don't know how long it's going to take when I write a script, but I'm going to have such a hard time cutting this down, and maybe this would just be a super long episode. Who knows? But yeah, I do, before I end the podcast, I want to shameless plug myself. I stream on Twitch now. And those who know me or were listening to an early episode of the podcast, I talked about shiny hunting, right? So I guess it's not surprising, but I like playing video games. So yeah, I stream on Twitch at twitch.tv/dxj22. And yeah, streaming is like my side thing. Like, if podcasting is my side thing, streaming is multiple levels below that. So yeah, I'm going to be prioritizing my podcast. But I mean, every once in a while, like maybe once or twice a week, I will be streaming on Twitch. And yeah, you can catch me there randomly. I would be probably streaming Splatoon or maybe Fortnite if my new computer comes in at a timely time. But yeah, shameless plug there. And I will be continuing to plug it. Oh yeah, also speaking of shameless plugs, we have an Instagram now. It is freestylethoughts_podofficial. So yeah, you can catch updates from me there. How exciting. But yeah, as for now, this has been Freestyle Thoughts, a dance podcast. Thanks for listening, and please join us next week for another episode.